Welcome to episode 103 of Anime and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the review show that reviews anime from A to Z. Sort of.
Alright guys, so last episode, we spun the wheel for Category K. We got Kimba the White Lion, which is famously known as being ripped off for The Lion King from Disney.
Yes, it is.
Kimba the White Lion, known in Japan as Jungle Emperor, is a Japanese shonen manga series written and illustrated by Osamu Tezuka, which was serialized in the manga shonen magazine from November 1950 to April 1954. The anime came out 1965 or 1967. Before we get any farther than that, there's a bunch more than just this 52-episode show. There's two movies. There's a sequel, like a sequel show that also runs for a while. And there's a prequel that's with his dad. And then there's like more films that and another series. There's a bunch going on with it.
Yeah, well,
it's kind of crazy.
I know it's a popular thing in Japan and stuff like that. And apparently, we covered the dub, which was aired on NBC in the States.
Oh, that's cool.
That's why this feels more serialized.
Yeah.
This one was, whereas the Japanese version had like they didn't want two-parters or anything because it's, you know, how American cartoons are. There's like, it has to be episodic. But there was like two-parters and stuff. They cut off things at the end of the episodes. And
okay.
It was much darker in the Japanese version because it followed the manga and stuff like that. Even though this one was pretty dark.
It was a pretty dark, but dark in an older sense.
Right. So
I didn't know that it was from 1965. While watching it, I thought maybe late 70s.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I read the wiki, 1965, I'm like, yeah, it actually makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh. It did. That's why this was hard for me to watch. It felt really bad, but at the same time, for a
19... It's on point for 1965. If anything, it's probably good for its time.
Yeah, a 1965 kids show that was dubbed and Americanized.
And, I mean, the animation's pretty good. Like, look at the stuff coming out, the animation coming out from America in 1965.
Right.
It's nowhere near this level.
So, I mean, it's really hard to call it bad, because for its time, it probably really was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But as a modern watch, it was hard.
It's tough. I don't watch anything from 1965. I mean, I know there's classic movies that people like, but it's not for me. So for me, it's a tough watch.
I don't know what year it was, but James Bond was in the 60s, I think.
Yeah, and again, classic movie. Never watched it, never had an interest in watching it. You know what I mean? That's me.
Yeah,
not
I mean,
everyone.
People go back and watch classic movies, but it's really rare that you see people go back and watch 1960 TV shows. Unless it's like Gilligan's Island or
maybe
something.
Maybe it's connected to something that they really like and they want to experience it, like a James Bond. Maybe I'm a big fan of James Bond and want to watch the first movie.
Or, you know, maybe they're watching Nick at Night or something and there's just reruns on or something. But no one goes out of their way.
It's weird to pick something.
It's weird to go out of their way and watch something from the beginning and watch every episode, you know?
Look, the art for its time is good. The voice acting, I'd even say, for its time was pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was.
It's tough to listen to it now and watch it now because we're used to modern graphics.
Right.
We're used to modern voice acting, modern, you know, microphones, not just the physical voice actors of it.
Right.
So it's tough, but at the same time, you can appreciate its quality.
Right.
But so it is tough to say it's bad. You said that earlier.
Yeah.
It's tough to say it's terrible because it was great, probably great for its time. But
right.
Yeah, it's kind of terrible because I don't want to watch it.
let me put it this way. On a technical level, it's pretty damn good. Story-wise, I'd still argue it's not great.
Yeah, there's a bunch of funny things in the story.
Well, we
got to get into the premise and everything, right?
Yeah, but before we start even that, let's just mention we only watched the first 5 episodes.
And the last episode.
And the last episode. Because it was
a tough watch, and there's 52 episodes.
And this is not like, if this was like Pokemon, we do like a season or something like that.
Yeah.
But there was no way we were going to do a season. This is just like Ninja Hattori or that Maze
and... It just goes and goes and goes.
Well, yeah, and that Maze and Aikaku. At least this one, unlike the Ninja Hattori, I was interested enough to see if they did do something in the finale, like we did with that Maze and Aikaku one, so...
And for the most part, most episodes were self-contained, at least from what I could tell. Some of them led into the others, but it's not like there's a story arc, like One Piece is a story arc. Dragon Ball Z, there's a story arc.
Right.
And it ends. You know when there's an ending, even if it's not the end of a quote-unquote season.
Right. Like, I went through an episode guide afterwards, and they didn't explain a lot of the episodes, but the ones that they did, the important ones, there is, like, a two-parter here or there that, you know, followed this and that. So,
gotcha.
But there was no overarching story. Definitely not.
Yeah, which sucks. Well, I guess it doesn't. I don't know. We're not watching it anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're judging it on the 5 episodes and then the 6th episode at the end. Premise is there's a white lion you find in the very first episode in Africa, and he's being hunted. Or his lioness was captured, actually.
Well, the premise is there's a lion in the forest, and he's getting on the humans' nerves, so they want to capture him, but they can't capture him.
They can't because he's smart.
Because he's smart, and he's stealing all their animals, but he's not killing them.
Yeah.
He's just freeing all the animals. He doesn't want to... I want to know, because that's like the premise of the show, you're not allowed to eat other animals. How are these carnivores eating and surviving?
Well, that's really funny, because in the last episode, with the golden lion and the silver tail, yeah, he goes to eat, you know, some sort of deer farm thing. And Kimba, the white lion, we'll get into who he is in a moment, defends the deer and beats the shit out of this grown lion, even though he's kind of older and sick.
Right.
Still beats the shit out of him, which doesn't make any sense. And the old lion's like, oh, I'm so hungry, blah, you know, later on in the episode. And they let him go hide because the hunters are after him. And then they bring him meat.
Well,
they don't bring him vegetables.
The monkey.
The baboon. The baboon brings him a hunk of meat. So, and Kimba said, you know, we don't hurt animals that are smaller and weaker. So maybe only animals that were more appropriate, like adults, or maybe animals that are sick, or maybe elderly animals they hunt. I don't really know. I don't think they ever get into it. I don't think it's something the show would get into.
No, but it seemed like that no animals get eaten.
Well, like, they did see the lion. We saw the lion eat meat, so they do. It's just off screen.
But in their jungle, it doesn't seem like other
animals. Well, yeah, sure, but how the f*** does Kimba stay alive that he's a lion?
I don't know. That's what I'm
asking. Maybe that's why he never ages. He doesn't eat any meat. He's a vegetarian.
Possibly.
Anyway, back to premise. So, he's stealing the animals and everything. His lioness gets captured, and she's going to America. And
the hunters capture the lion and kill the Caesar, the white lion.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he was like trying to get her back, right?
Right, he was trying to get her back, but you just skipped over them killing them. Like,
well, there's no well
because it comes.
They captured her and they were going to take her away, and then he wanted to go save her. Well, and no, the baboon was like,
they captured her to lure him out.
Yeah,
specifically.
Yeah. I know. And then he was like, "Oh, I'm going to go save her," and the baboon's like, "No, think about it. You'll die, or there's a lot of risk. Think about it." He's like, "I did think about it. I have to save her." Yeah. And then he runs off to go save her, and the baboon's like, "Oh, why wouldn't he think about it?" And he's like, he did. He chose the risk was, you know, okay for him. He wants to save her. Like, of course he thought about it. So the dialogue there was kind of messy and dumb.
But, I mean, we can't mention this without mentioning Caesar is Kimba's dad.
Yes.
And he's
the big white lion.
Definitely the inspiration for Mufasa in Lion King. Oh, for sure. Just like Kimba, Simba.
The baboon is Rafiki.
Yeah.
There's a pair of laughing hyenas.
Yep, and then Scar is essentially in it. I don't think his name's Scar, but it's close to Scar. That starts with an
S. Oh, who was the fawn? Who was voicing the fawn that sounded like someone? Crap, I forget who it was. The deer?
I know who you're talking about.
Oh my god, I gotta pause it. I gotta go find it.
Okay.
Alright, we had to scrub through to find it. Episode 2, he starts talking. He sounds exactly like Yogi the Bear.
Oh.
Like, word for word, syllable for syllable, it sounds like Yogi the Bear. I think it might be the same voice actor. It
probably is.
It's f***ing ridiculous.
We spent like 15 minutes looking through that. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. So, let's get back to it. In the first episode, pretty much Kim is being born, and then he's trying to get back to Africa.
Yeah, so after, you know, Caesar gets skinned and killed.
Yeah.
They put the mother on the ship to America, and Kimba's born.
And he jumps off the ship, because his mom's like, go!
After the ship explodes.
And starts sinking.
Yeah, all those people, there's a bunch of rats that were like nursemaids and stuff. It got really cartoony.
Yeah, man. It gets weird at points. But he jumps off the ship, doesn't know how to swim, can talk immediately, apparently.
Well,
he's an animal.
He could talk to fish, and he swims for what seems like months.
Yeah.
I think they say months.
And the fish teach him how to swim. But before he saw how to swim, there's a giant storm, and he survives that somehow.
Well, he jumped off before the storm.
In the storm, he's swimming during the storm.
Yeah, well, I took it as the storm was, like, further that way, and he didn't hit it.
I don't think you were quite paying attention. He was definitely in the storm.
Oh.
So when he jumped off, it was fairly calm.
Okay.
And then, like, 10 seconds later, the storm hits, and it's crazy.
Oh, I don't remember. I remember the ship sinking, but I thought...
Yeah, the ship sunk. Storm's over. It's the next day. There's wreckage everywhere. And he's upset about his mom being dead.
Yeah, so his mom drowns in the ship, so both his parents are dead.
It gets weirdly dark at times.
For no reason.
But sometimes. Then the fish teaches him to swim, and he swims off to Africa. Right. That's pretty much the end of the first episode.
Yep. And then
now, before we get any farther, because I'm going to forget, I missed the part where they skinned his dad. But I remember the last episode very clearly. Okay. You were going to bring it up later?
Yeah.
All right, we'll bring it up later then. Because okay. So, I don't want to forget. But if we both remember it, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, that comes back earlier, too.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the second episode is pretty much, he's being introduced to the jungle. A new lion has taken over as king, and all the animals pretty much can't function without Caesar because they're incompetent idiots. And
Scar.
Soon as this, like, 2-month-year-old child shows up, they're like, you're our king now.
Yeah, and he takes on lions. Oh, so in the second episode, people are fighting or whatever, and he's like, oh no, why are you fighting? You should solve your differences with words.
Yeah.
But then he fights them. And he always fights.
Well, I'll get to that, too. He's very pacifist in the first two episodes. Yes,
and then after that, he's fighting constantly to do what he wants and save people.
Well,
he's not fighting to kill. He's not really hurting anyone.
The second episode is where we're introduced to Scar, because I don't know his name.
And, his name is Scar.
And there's only two hyenas in this one. But, you know, it's just him overthrowing them and taking over and stuff like that. It's pretty standard stuff.
Yeah, what do you expect?
And then going into the third episode, this is where it gets weird, because now a spy is... a bunch of hunters come to the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember why they're there, but... They're
hunting.
They're hunting.
They're on a hunting party.
But no, because the leader of the hunters has a bomb he's trying to sell off to, like, other nations, and there's a spy on board.
I mean, it's Africa. Weird shit happens in Africa. It's not... There's no real governing body. There's like 18 different countries there.
It's just a weird story for this show.
It's odd.
But anyway, so Kimba ends up being captured and put on this ship.
Mm.
And then the spy makes his move. And then it's a spy thriller all of a sudden. And he stops the villain, gets the bomb.
Saves the day.
Saves everything. And then they try to go back. And he ends up getting hurt, the spy, his leg. And then him and Kimba have got to travel through the forest because the desert, trying to get Kimba back, because he promised to get Kimba back. And then he dies right before he gets to the end of it. And then Kimba shows back up in the jungle, and he's like, oh, my friend died over here. And why did you just kill off another character?
I don't know. There's some forced drama.
It didn't make... Oh, and by the way, this guy could understand Kimba, and this is where we start learning that Kimba can talk to humans and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the third episode, two more humans
they were on a hunting party, plane crash, they got stranded.
They got stranded, and one's a ditzy woman who doesn't want to be in the jungle.
Oh, this is something that I kind of like, because, and we'll get more into this in the fifth episode, but the show's a bit of a time capsule.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's how they viewed women in the 60s, especially how they viewed him, but how they portrayed him in the media. And she's ditzy and hysterical and
spoiled.
Dumb, spoiled.
Jealous.
Yeah. The way they write her, it's ridiculous. Of a cat.
Of a baby lion, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's stupid.
And the man is always right.
Yeah. Nice and charming.
And belittling of her. So, like,
yeah.
She's running away because she's spoiled as f***. And like, oh, let's just go. Let's just go. Like, it's the middle of the night, bitch. Go to sleep. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's chasing after her, like, no, come back to the cave, blah, blah, blah. What are you doing? You're going to get lost. And a snake tries to bite her. So she pulls out her gun. And Kimba jumps on her to save her. Well, she thinks Kimba's attacking her.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts shooting at him, which kind of makes sense.
Right.
But he's like, what are you doing? Why are you being harmful to animals? What are you, dumb? Like, essentially that. It's like,
right.
No, she's saving herself from this kitten.
Right. Meanwhile, Kyle's trying to eat her alive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, by the way, that giant snake was Kyle from Jungle Book.
Yeah, it's so obvious that Disney ripped this off. And we only watched a few episodes. I'm sure if we had watched all of it, we would have really seen iconic scenes.
Right.
But as it is, it's so clear.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's no doubt.
But yeah, so it's just although I to did, say it again, it's like a time capsule. It's really funny to watch.
I did read that the creator of this said that Disney didn't, and he was okay with all of it. It was more of a, like, inspiration from it he was talking about.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as he's okay with it.
Right.
But it's clear.
Uh-huh. So yeah, and so it's just them surviving in the jungle and trying to get back to civilization in this episode. Mm-hmm. And then the girl, they go across this bridge and it collapses.
But she gets across.
She gets across and abandons them.
But the man, I forget his name, Marco, maybe, was it's about to,
something.
Yeah, he was about to cross the bridge, and he sort of fell a little, but not really. And he's fine, and he's like, Kimba, I could have sworn I heard someone say dangerous or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And I know it wasn't her. It must have been you. You can talk. And he's like, bridge, dangerous. And like in this moment, in this 30-second scene, he learns to talk with humans.
Right. It's ridiculous.
He just starts stringing words together.
And he also teaches them to sing and speak English.
All the other animals, yes.
Yes. So, I mean, this guy is really talented.
But at the same time, it doesn't quite make sense because in the next episode, he goes to France.
Well, no. He disappears completely in the fourth episode.
Fourth. Yeah, I was talking about the fifth.
But he, it's funny because at the end of the episode, he says he has a chance to go back and he says, no, I'm staying in the jungle with you forever. And then the next episode, he's missing.
He's gone.
And in the fifth episode, he's back in the city. So it's
but
like...
But Kimba goes to the city with him, and he's not talking to everyone. You'd think people would be freaking out that there's a lion talking to his friend.
That was weird.
So that didn't quite make sense.
Yeah, no, but we'll get to that one. So the fourth episode, a water buffalo shows up in the jungle, and he's, you know, antagonistic. We should fight it and kill it and doing all this stuff. And he's antagonistic. And this is where the hunters come in, and we see that Caesar's skin is in kept as a trophy in the original hunter's house that hired the people to hunt them. His skin's in the background.
I don't remember this. I don't know if I skipped this episode or if I just blanked out for like 5 solid minutes.
Okay. Well, anyway, the water buffalo shows up and he just... And the moral is that he's wrong. He shouldn't be antagonist. He should be nice. But at one point, the hunters are looking for them and the baboon and the deer friend and one of the other animals, I don't know, the parrot, go to the hunter's lodge, and they make a distraction so they can go in and steal their guns. But they don't end up stealing it. They steal Caesar's skin. And then, at this point, because everybody voted against Kimba, because the water buffalo comes through the jungle at points in time, and it's like, makes some points, and everyone agrees with the water buffalo, and Kimba gets all sad and walks away, and he's dejected that no one's his friend, and no one agrees with him, because that's how... You know, voting works, but so the baboon, the deer, and the parrot take the skin and wear it and start talking through it.
Oh, that's
to Kimba trying to say, "I am the spirit of."
That's so messed up.
Yeah,
you're wearing your parents' skin,
and then eventually Kimba figures it out and jumps on him. He's like, "What are you doing?" And they were like, "We were trying to." It's like, okay, that's fine. No, what's about his father's skin is there? It's like, what is going on with this show?
That's so weird. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all.
No. Anyway, then the fifth episode's the World Fair.
Yes. Marco, I think his name is. Ranger Marco, whatever his name is.
Whatever.
Ends up taking Kimba to France. Paris.
Yeah.
And his girl... His girlfriend's there, I forget her name, the one in the jungle, and she's super jealous of Kimba.
I just want to point out, this was an Americanized version of this show, and it had American names, except for like Kimba and stuff, and we still don't remember the names.
Yeah, I mean, we don't remember most names. It's not, you know, I don't remember most names, not necessarily because they're Japanese, but because they're forgettable. And they don't use them, and it's a show I'm not really super into. Like, I can name all Dragon Ball Z characters.
Right. I just want to point out, it's not that we're just bad with Japanese names.
Yeah, no, it's just names in general. And it's not a show that I'm super into.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, she's super jealous of him. They go to a museum, and she's all upset that he's showing stuff to Kimba. Right. They go to a restaurant, and she's all pissed off that Kimba's sitting in between them. To the point where she throws her spoon at him after throwing him off his chair. And it goes in Kimba's mouth and he's choking on it.
Right. But apparently, Kimba is telling a story to the jungle animals that he's his trip to Paris.
Yes.
And then there's this baby cheetah that shows up and starts attacking him and says, "You killed my grandfather, Quasimodo."
Your dad killed my grandfather.
Whatever. Your dad killed my grandfather,
Quasimodo. He says your dad killed my grandfather, but in the scene, it's Kimba. In the flashback scene, it's Kimba.
Is it?
Not his dad. So it doesn't really make any sense, but he said your dad did it.
Maybe it was his dad as a kid.
Maybe.
But I found it funny that he called him Quasimodo and they were Paris, Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah. I was thinking of that.
It was a clear reference there. So there's this cheetah.
Oh, another clear reference. So while they're in at the World
Fair,
they look at the robots. Did you see Astro Boy?
I saw Astro Boy.
Astro Boy was one of the robots that is going to be made in the year 2000.
Yeah, I went to bring that up, but I completely forgot. But yeah, robots are supposed to be made as including Astro Boy in the year 2000.
Well, I mean, Astro Boy's an anime, right? So it makes sense.
Right. Well, that makes sense. But, you know, I don't see those robots.
I guess it came out before 1965. I mean, I knew it was old. I didn't know how old.
Right, yeah. But, you know, 21 years ago now, those robots aren't walking around.
Well, there are some robots.
Not those robots. Not those robots. They said those robots.
It's very 60s robots. They're rounded off, and they look like a 60s drawing of a robot.
Right. But, yeah. So, there's the cheetah in the sewers of Paris. His name's Quasimodo because he's got, like, green spots on him. And he can walk on ceilings, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Which never came back.
Yeah, well, not that we know of, anyway.
Well,
could have came back in a different episode.
That's fair.
We skipped, like, 46 episodes.
Something like that. But, so they think it's a monster, the cops in Paris.
They're trying to shoot him. For some reason, Marco was with them.
Well, no. Kimba disappeared, got knocked down into the sewer because he was told to go wash his hands by the ranger, and then one of the maids said, "No cats are allowed in here," and you swatted our broom at him, drove him into a sewer, and then a big heavyset lady dropped a giant rock on top of it, saying, "No monsters are coming up here."
Yes, but then the cops are hunting him, and
well,
and Marco's with the cops.
Marco goes to look for Kimba by himself, and Marco's uncle is with the cops.
Marco was
separate. He went searching up separate, and they ended up in different spots.
Okay.
Yeah, so they go and find him down there, and they're about to shoot Kimba because they think he's a monster, but then the cheetah jumps in front of him, and then Kimba says no. And
look, all in all, it's not a great show.
No.
It's nothing. If you want to watch it for historical purposes,
yeah,
for something that was really good for its time, that's fine. If you want to watch it for knowing what The Lion King was ripped off of, that's fine.
Yeah.
But other than that, I wouldn't watch it at all.
But yeah, so at the end of the episode, all the animals go to the World Fair, and the baby cheetah goes to visit his grandfather. Yeah. And then there's the finale, which is not a finale, it's just another episode.
Yeah, it's just another episode. Mm. And it ends like any episode would end, doesn't
well,
feel like...
Well, there's two things I wanted to bring up in this episode, because it's the old lion we talked about earlier. An old lion attacked the city because he's starving and hungry, and so a bunch of hunters are coming, and the hunters are destroying the jungle trying to get to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kimba ends up stopping them and saving them and taking them
in Kimba fashion.
Right. But there's two scenes in this. In the earlier in the episode, there is a bunch of the younger animals going around and they end up knocking these bees.
Yes, down. They all get stung by bees.
And then, but Kimba's...
On accident. They didn't know on purpose.
And Kimba's hiding from the baboon.
Yeah, because baboon's a father figure that's going to whoop his ass for... around with the bees.
Right, and he does.
And he does. And Kim was like, "No, I swear to God, we didn't do it on purpose." But in that scene, you see the white lion's skin in the cave where Kimba sleeps.
Kimba's keeping his father's skin
as a decorative piece.
And that was I guess it's only one scene I went.
Decorative
that was,
piece.
Yeah, one scene that I went. That's the only scene
that
I went.
That was weird.
While the baboon has him over his knees, spanking
like, if
him.
Anything, because Kimba was sleeping under some leaves and trying to stay hidden. If anything, as creepy as it would have been, it would kind of make sense for a child to sleep with the skin.
Yeah, well, as a blanket.
Because it's fur, it's not just skin.
But no, it's out in the background like a trophy.
Yeah, it looked like a trophy. It was weird. It would honestly would have been less weird if he was sleeping with it.
Uh-huh.
just odd.
The show is not an easy watch these days.
Yeah, I mean, how do you grade it? Do you grade it for its time? Well, for its time, it's probably an 8.
Well, let me ask
not
you something.
Not something I would want to watch.
Let me ask you something. Would you put this on for your kids?
No. I'm sure there's racism in it somewhere. We didn't see it in our episodes. But if there's a black person in any of those episodes, it's going to be racist. I can say that with certainty because of the way the sexism they show towards the woman. And just for the sexism towards the woman, I wouldn't. You know, it's weird. You're portraying women in a very odd way. And this is – guys, I'm center-right. I normally don't give a f*** about these things. But, like, it's so over the top, and I don't want my children to think that that's – okay.
that's, I mean, it's a good perspective to throw in here since it's a kid's show from yeah. that time period.
So. But for that time period, I mean, that's par the course.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's hard to judge it on the time period, though, and grade it on the time period, yeah. because we weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, and it's not like it's, like, a decade before we were born where we can surmise.
Yeah, it's a couple decades.
So it's, like, it's a different...
That's over 20 years yeah, before me.
It's a generation, it's a big generational mm-hmm. gap. It's not, like, you know, we can surmise.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to even picture that era.
Yeah, I mean, for its time, I guess it'd have to be a higher score. But as of now, I would never want to watch another episode.
Oh, no.
You'd have to pay me.
No, yeah, I mean, but I'm not going to go completely hard on the score.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 5.
5? 4.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't think it's bad, and it's so, it's got to be average.
It's not good.
But
and
it's...
It is bad at times.
But yeah, so, I'm still going to go with a 5.
That's fine. So what else did we have for K?
Okay.
Kimba.
So... I'm just going to go in the order that I'm going to rate them, because that's how I remember the list. So, Kill la Kill.
Kill la Kill.
This, Battleship Girls, Koikaze.
Kill la Kill, Battleship Girls, this, Koikaze. I'd rather watch Battleship Girls before this.
No.
Just because it's modern art.
Yeah, no, I would rather watch this, because I remember not liking that.
I don't remember liking it at all either, but modern art and voice acting, and just the effects are better. At least then I have explosions.
This has historical significance, and it's, like, worth it to watch it for the history of it.
Yeah, I guess.
Whereas Battleship Girls, there's just nothing.
Yeah, it's...
Unless you're just watching it for the anime dudes.
It's there.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch it for that.
I know you would, but not me.
That's not something I want to watch, but I'd rather watch it for that if I had to pick between the two.
Yeah.
So...
Well, we're in agreement, Kill la Kill, top Koikaze at the bottom.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, so we are spinning for category, L.
We sure are.
And here we go. Not that much, you know, but not that little either. Some lists that are very small. What do we got? Ooh, I don't know what that is.
I can't see that.
La Storia della Arcana Famiglia, the story of the Arcane family.
Why is that so low?
Yeah, I have no idea. Oh, God, what was it called again? La Storia, L.A.
It's the first one.
It's the first one. Oh, okay, so a bunch of boys.
12 episodes.
Bunch of boys. It's 12 episodes? It is 12. With OVA English dubbed. I guess episode could be a movie. Who knows? Tags are action, comedy, drama, romance, and it's all boys. So who knows? This could be another big watch for us.
Yeah.
And I don't see any girl. Oh, no. I see a girl in the cover art. Pigtail all redhead. Looks like she's 12. That's going to be great.
That first name looks fun.
Jesus. Felicita. You try that. There's an asterisk on the, or not an asterisk, but a thingy on the A.
Yeah. Felicita?
Felicita.
Felicita. Felicita.
Felix is the one and only daughter of the papa of the organization.
Go, I don't even think that's Japanese.
Yeah, I think it's Spanish. Well, the whole La Storia della, I'm pretty sure it's Spanish.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would be. I for some reason, I thought it was French.
And it uses
not.
Papa. Papa's a Spanish
yeah.
thing. Anyway, Felicity is the one and only daughter of the papa of the organization, maybe even mafia, known as the Arcana family. I'm not going to do that. The family is made up of people who made contracts with the arcane cards and have received special abilities due to this.
Cardcaptor Sakura.
The papa has decided it's time to retire and, wow, I'm having trouble this time. Retire and give up his seat to a new male who has control of an arcane. To decide who... I feel like it's structured weird. To decide who in the family, quote-unquote, gets this seat. He calls for a tournament great between arcane users. To the winner, he promises the papa seat. A wish for the winner's choice and his daughter's hand in marriage.
Oh, God.
Refusing to accept this, Felix decides to fight to choose her own path. Okay, so the redhead, pigtails, and her friends Liberta and Nova fighting for her freedom by herself.
I'm getting Junie Kaisen feel.
Yeah, I am too.
Only with less blood.
And look, that bald guy in the back looks old as f***. She looks she's 12, so that's going to be weird.
Yeah. This is a battle royal?
I guess. A tournament might not be battle royal.
That's fair, too. It could be either or.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, but I mean, it's surrounded by a tournament. You think it would be more battle royale. You
especially because you want them all to have an equal chance at winning.
Right.
Well, if you pair them up, it's not an equal chance.
Right, exactly. shonen's more leans towards tournaments rather than a show based around it.
You know? I guess we'll find out. All right, guys. Well, it could be a shonen, just not with a shonen tag. That happens sometimes.
That does happen sometimes, but I feel shonen and harem tags would be on there only because you want to broadcast that.
That's true.
But
You know what? It's probably not a shonen because I don't think this is going to be the kind of show where people get stronger.
No.
That's typically what a shonen is.
Right.
It's story arcs, me getting stronger constantly.
Right. I just hope they don't explain every background story
before they kill. I think that's going to happen. And I think while they're fighting, they're all going to have their own exposition. This is my special move.
Remember Judy Tyson when they explained every character's backstory and they killed them off afterwards?
Immediately. Every time two characters would pair up, the new character being introduced would get a huge backstory and then they're dead.
Yep.
That was f***ing terrible. Anyway, guys, next episode, where is it? The story of the Arcane Family. I'm not doing that. Spanish.
We can't even do Japanese. You want us to do Spanish now? Bye.
Bye.